You're listening to a DM podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Beyond the Likes. It is your host, Amy Gerard. We're very professional today. We're in the Big Dog Studio, and I am joined today by two very special women, Anthea and Ariana. I'm not going to say last names. Actually, I don't know the last name. Oh, I know your Hendry. Last name. Hendry.
I'm a Hendry too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice. So, little backstory. Anthea and I had an incredible netball career. Professional netball players. I do miss that as well. I'm very unfit. I don't know if I would actually last playing indoor netball at all.
I feel like just the like excitement of it all, you'd just be back. Gina would be there like, come on, Amy.
So I actually, just for a little behind the scenes thing, I actually said yes to playing indoor netball with you guys because I was like, oh, you know, we'll go for drinks afterwards and we'll get snitties and stuff. And it must be like real easy going, and it is absolutely not easy going. And I think anybody that plays indoor netball would understand that it's an aggressive sport.
I think because like everyone's a bit older, they're the ones that have real passion for it. So it's kind of like they just do not let it go. It's like to ball to the wall. Like it's so hard.
And in my head I'm thinking, oh, it'll be like netball, right? It'll be like cricket, like super easy, no injuries. I'm pretty sure Gina, our goal shooter, like snapped her Achilles.
And that was the end. I was like, no, I can't. I don't want a serious injury. I'm out.
What? I bunged up my finger. I had hairline fractures in my finger. Pathetic. Anyway, sorry, I've digressed from our netball career. I wanted to get these wonderful women on. Firstly, I want to say a huge thank you. They jumped behind my Rise and Wine event, which, I mean, that was terrifying in itself. But you kind of gave me some money and you put your faith and all of that kind of jazz behind me, and it helped to bring the event to life a little bit more so. So thank you very much.
No problem. Our pleasure.
Next time I do one when I've fully recovered from just 2023, I expect you both there.
We will be there with bells on.
On the dance floor?
100%. Oh, for sure.
Okay, good. We've got that on film now, so you can't back out.
If you had any excuse to...
She's actually worse than I am. Like she's your standard.
Really? Oh my God. Yeah. We can go toe to toe. Actually, I do remember you down at Milton on the dance floor. You kind of just walk off on your own. we would
like,
lose
these
you.
People over there, they look a bit fun.
And that's right. And you were just talking to every Tom, Dick and Harry and making friends.
That's fun.
Okay. So I feel like the word entrepreneur gets thrown around left, right and center, right? I feel like anybody can kind of call themselves an entrepreneur. Am I saying it right?
I feel
entrepreneur
like
or entrepreneur?
I mean, I'd probably do entrepreneur, but I'm not really the gospel of that stuff. Ariana's good in English. She'll be on
you
it.
You guys are both really smart.
No, we're not.
Yes, you are.
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, the word makes me want to do a little vom in my mouth. So I try not to say it at any cost, to be honest.
I'm actually even sure exactly the meaning.
When I think of an entrepreneur, I think of somebody who's got like a lot of drive and is out there, a bit of a go-getter, keen to start a business, set up a business, be their own boss, their own CEO, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right terminology. I mean, I could Google it now, but that's neither here nor there. But you guys have a really incredible business called Basis.
Yeah.
And I just feel like you are the epitome of entrepreneurs, whether you like to hear it or not. It's okay if I say it. But talk me through, because I know that that wasn't your very first business, right? You've had a few.
We have one before this one that we did for 10 years.
And what was that?
That was called Hypoxy.
I knew it. I've done it. I've done it. Back in like 2013, I had a boyfriend. We were going to Hawaii. He was like an Adonis. He had a 12-pack and I was like, oh, shit, I've got to get shredded. Like I've got to lose
weight.
The
thought of having holiday sex with someone who's got a 6-pack is very intimidating.
It is intimidating. And I've always been, by default, I would say I've got a decent metabolism and I eat like a front rower, but I've always stayed relatively on the smaller side, but sloppy as. Like custard. I'm pathetically weak and quite sloppy. And I just wanted to tone up. So I remember I started at the gym. I think I was doing Zumba. That was my where my energy levels were at. But then underneath me, I was at World Square.
Yes.
And across the road, there was this hypoxia. And I remember reading up on it and it was like I could go and do my cycling in this hot bed but also watch Netflix at the same time.
Correct.
I was like, this is ticking so many boxes.
Yeah.
Because when I do lose weight, I get really like greyhoundy up the top and my chest, like all my bones here and my arms get really skinny, but my lower part never changes. So I was like, this is perfect. I can just sweat from the waist down.
You know what? If Fernwood Fitness is listening, because they are the now owners, I feel like you just did an advertorial.
Contact me, Fernwood. I should get back into it.
You really should.
So that was like a tough slog, I would say.
It was.
That was 10 years of really grind.
That was the definition of entrepreneur. Yeah. We were in our 20s. We had energy. We didn't have kids.
Yeah.
It was like just different. You could give 16 hours of your day and like you didn't have to come home to anyone. Yeah. So I feel like it was just different time.
And it was like more serious, stressful problems. Like because we were the distributor of their equipment and so they would sell to sort of small businesses so that then their pressure of being financially beneficial
fell on you.
So it was very much like, we're not busy enough or we've got this issue or we've got this technical problem, and you genuinely felt like you owed them blood. Like it was like Sunday afternoon, no problem, blah, blah. Like it was a lot.
It was a lot.
Did you discover the brand when you were overseas?
Ariana was traveling. She got real fat.
I got so fat.
I got real fat when I moved over to the UK. I got the Heathrow injection.
Yeah.
Did you go to London too?
Yeah. And it came off the back of 6 months in Spain. And I remember going my first day of work over there, and I'd brought all my work gear from Sydney over to London, and I get off the tube stop and go up the stairs, and the entire crutch of my pants gave way. And then at that point I was like, you know when you think you're okay, but then it's sort of like, actually, this is really bad. And so it was just, I was desperate to find something that I could like squeeze in because I was working like big hours. So
yeah, and you kind of want something, and I feel like it's, you're kind of doing two things, but you've consolidated into the one, right?
Yeah.
So you're exercising, but you're also having a sauna.
Yeah, it was like because it was all about the improvement of the circulation. So I think the theory behind it was quite good.
Yes.
But also after 10 years of talking about asses and cellulite and stuff, by the end of it, it was starting
You were done.
It was. And I think that's the saddest part, is that when we went into it, like everyone wants to feel like they're doing a job that they can, you know, be proud of.
Yeah.
Or it's making a bit of a difference.
Yeah.
And the equipment itself, like it was all about like rehabilitation and improvement of like, you know, tissue structure and stuff. But that didn't sell, like the cellulite reduction. Sold.
Exactly.
So all
right.
of a sudden you're like the as
before
I said,
and after.
Yeah.
Like it was just.
Anyway, you're welcome, Fernwood.
Yeah.
This has just been a shameless plug for you guys.
That's right. That's all we've got time for today.
I think we've got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
No. So let's now talk about your baby, your current baby.
Yes.
Basis.
So after the hypoxia thing.
We sold it in 2015 to Fitness First. And I think Anthony and I were so exhausted.
Yeah.
I was like, this is
You're
done.
Like, see you, bye, don't call me.
Never.
I'll call you.
Some of the operators would call me like, oh, we miss you. And I was just like, yeah, I don't care.
Delete my number.
You gave me so much heartache. Like, I actually can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were like, I'm not going to do anything.
Mm. And we'd both, we had a change of circumstance. So, like, I fell pregnant. So it was sort of like, okay, I'm going to divert my energy to motherhood.
My husband cheated on me after 6 months of being married. Oh. So then I was going through that like slightly horrendous turmoil.
Far out.
Fine now. Like
we hate
good,
him
but,
though.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a prick. And so who came up with the idea of Basis? Was it a slow burn? Was there one product in particular that you started with and then grew from there, or?
It was one in particular. I think, to be honest, the credit really does go to Jess. So it's not just the two of us.
Yep.
Like there's Jess is the third of our, but she's not a third wheel, but she's where there's three
third
of us.
Little partnership, yep.
And she had come back from New York where like personalization was obviously all the rage over there. And we were together, I think we were going for a walk somewhere, and I don't know what it was. I think we were watching everyone, you know, water bottles, everyone had their drink bottle and stuff. And Jess had been coming back from this trip. Her husband's a pilot. So that she just got back from New York and she was like, oh, you know, everyone's personalizing stuff.
Yeah.
In America. And then we sort of said, well, there's probably a gap in the market for it, but no one was necessarily doing it for everyday items where putting your name on something actually has a function. Like it's not just about, you know, sticking your initials on a handbag. It's actually, it serves a practical function. Like, you know.
Me and my husband had the same AirPod case, right? And for years. And then we would get constantly confused. And so I actually wrote the word Gronk and sticky taped it to his AirPod case and he would take it to work and he was like the brunt of all these jokes, but he was like, I don't even care because at least I know they're mine, right? Totally. So yes, it definitely does serve a purpose.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It was more just around like, I suppose, well-priced products so that they look maybe more expensive than they are. There's a touch of personalization, so you kind of think this is a bit more special.
Yeah.
Just with everyday stuff.
And so what, like, talk me through the products in your range. You've obviously got phone cases.
So we've got drink bottles. We've got a few range of those. We've just launched a kids one, which is really cute.
Yep.
We have coffee tumblers. Yep.
Products that you can use every day that replace disposables. And then we've got beauty.
Yeah, so we've got some compact mirrors. We have makeup cases,
perfume atomizers. Yeah. Anthea's like, Anthea should be all over this because we just revamped our inventory system. So you've literally been swimming in all our SKUs.
And you've got all the really nice stuff for the table as well, like the travertine.
Those coasters are beautiful.
They're so beautiful.
Yeah, so we have a slight because we sell to wholesalers. Yep. Sorry, to retailers as well. So we wholesale. So that's probably more of like an in-store, like pick and feel, beautiful kind of products.
But it is basically that, like, you can have nice stuff and you don't have to pay an arm and a leg to have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think is the way we've tried to position it. And we literally, like, one of the first things we think about if we want to go with a new product is sort of say, okay, well, can we price this in a way that is we're still within the reach of, like, the average consumer?
Exactly right. It's a middle of the range kind of gift price that pretty much most people can afford that feels a little bit more special because I feel like the personalization is always a little bit more special than just going out and buying a drink bottle from Woolies and stuff, right?
Totally.
So did you have any moments in your career, I mean, I already know of one, that you were kind of just like, wow, this has really put us on the map?
So it's got to be Oprah.
Yes.
You get a drink bottle.
Yeah.
That, I swear to God, came from complete left field. We had no fucking clue that that was happening. And so many people were making comments on our TikToks and stuff being like, oh, good paid advertising. We're like, mate, if we could pay Oprah to do advertising, I'm pretty sure we would be fucking millionaires. Like, yeah, I don't think that So
what happened? How did it all come about?
She was organising, which we didn't know, a 40th or 50th birthday for her best mate. Some lady had contacted us, just this really lovely customer saying, hey, I'm looking for these drink bottles, but I didn't want to go. She didn't want to go on the website and do personalisation for 50 units. So she just wanted to send us through the list and go for it from there. We were like, obviously, of course, no problem, no big deal. She had sent the address and it was to Hawaii and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I did a little Google search because, you know, I love to know what's going on with everyone. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. Like, but honestly did not think twice about it. She had quite a bit of contact back and forth because there were a few name changes, one being, can I change it from OW to Oprah? I literally, like, I'm not even joking. Who would think twice? Like, you wouldn't.
And plus, I don't think, because obviously we're processing like hundreds of units a day. We're not sitting there vetting names thinking, Taylor, could that be Taylor? Like we literally, it just went through to the keeper.
And also it's like, I was like, oh, they're American. Like, I don't know. Maybe Oprah's like a really...
Is Oprah? I've never heard anyone call Oprah before.
I have no
My
idea.
Head would have gone straight there. It's Oprah.
No, literally not. So that was months earlier.
Yeah.
And then our SEO guy sent us an email saying,
SEO?
So we obviously work on improving the organic ranking. So when you Google a particular word, you can help to boost it so that your website appears like at the top of the search results.
Yes, of
course. And so we have this amazing guy who basically helps us to work through that. So
gotcha.
He is obviously he's all over it because all over it. Within 24 hours he sends us an email saying, what the fuck, there's this massive spike in traffic on your website. And we could see it obviously because all of a sudden the sales were just ding, 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 ding.
And he was like, oh, great backlink. And we were like, what is this? And we click on it and it's her newsletter. And we were like, is there like some sort of mistake? Like honestly, we were thinking they've linked our page accidentally.
Oh, so it was on. So does Oprah send out
Oprah Daily? Yes.
She sends out a newsletter and she's on the website.
And she's doing this whole video unboxing of the goodie bags that she'd put together for everyone who was coming to the party. And she pulls out the water bottle and she's like, oh my God. Like she's like loving it.
So as in the person who contacted you must have been like her EA or a PA or something, and she's doing these goodie bags. So you got an unboxing video from Oprah Winfrey and you didn't pay a cent.
No. Not $1.
Oh my God, that's the dream.
It was seriously. We're crying, I think, of just like pure emotion of being like, how is this actually happening?
That's so brilliant. Mm, yeah. And did that really change your business?
I think or was it like there was a few things. No. So I think the sales from were predominantly US.
Yes.
So that was fine because we'd already kind of implemented this whole way of we could get our stuff over there economically like months earlier. So the timing was good. It didn't kind of stuff us completely.
And we hadn't formally launched in the US. Like we've always taken the view, like this is the problem I have with people marketing on social media about like how to become a millionaire in 20 minutes. Like the minute you go balls to the wall and like go and burn lots of cash to try and be everywhere all at once, like it's just a recipe for disaster. And Anth and I guess because it's not our first rodeo, we were like, we want to just grow sustainably. I know it's the boring thing to say, but like we just wanted to take it slow and get our shit right here before we go launching in other markets. So, you know, we weren't there. And I guess, you know, if you could plan a better way to like launch, I feel like she kind of gifted us like this perfect introduction that we would
into
never.
Into the American market. Yeah. But I also think that like slow, they always say like slow and steady wins the race, right? And you're obviously veterans. You've had hypoxia for X amount of years. And so you probably know that, you know, becoming a really successful business isn't something that happens overnight or even in
and
a year.
There's so many issues with growing too fast. Like
that's right.
Such a flow-on effect.
Yeah.
But I think it was then Jess particularly like pimped out the story because she's in PR like to the like local people. Mm. And it was the bloody morning show. What show was
Sunrise.
Sunrise.
Did you go on Sunrise?
We went on Sunrise. I was petrified. Like I can't tell you. I was like, I think I need to take like a Valium or something.
Yeah.
It was so nerve-wracking.
Did you go into the studio?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, even I've done that and I was sweating from every pore on my body.
I was like, I can't. This is so bad.
Yeah.
But in my head I was also like, it was a Saturday morning.
I was like,
who watches this? Like I actually wasn't apparently surprised. Fucking thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
We got off that and like we have the Shopify app on your phone where it like dings when sales come through at the time. And I just looked and it was like, I don't know, 500 off the show. Yeah, and then it was just constant. And then I was like in panic mode because I was like, how are we going to fulfill these.
Yeah.
And I was like, do we have enough inventory? Like so many things were going through my brain.
In fact, you managed to take the gloss off the whole
thing.
Totally. I was like, I'm a really optimistic person and I'm like glass half full. So I'm like, this is incredible. Yes. And like, let's just, you know, go for this. And Anthea's just sitting there in the background being like, oh my God, minimum inventory numbers. I'm thinking about like the logistics of the timing lag between the actual next arrival of the shipment. I was like, can you just shut the fuck up and enjoy this moment?
I was literally like talking to one of the other girls work with them. I'm like, Brookie, make it stop. Make it stop.
She's
like,
make the sales stop.
She's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, this is actually fucking sending me like loopy. But we were like, went into full, like all hands on deck, all hours. Yeah. We picked and packed like everyone was doing it.
And I think that's important too, because we've got this beautiful team of predominantly female, except Jesse, who we love.
Yep.
And I think it's so important that they see that you're not just like talking the talk, but like when shit gets real, that you roll up your sleeves with them. Like we're constantly, you know, in the fulfillment side of things, because that's the only way you work out like things that could be done differently or better, or their pain points or whatever. So we try really hard to do that
and immerse yourself in the whole team culture and stuff. I think it's so important. I've got a girlfriend who has her own business as well, and she'll be like, she's out the back packing orders with them, right? And then she's going out for lunch with them, and it does, it makes her staff stick around, yeah. right?
And have that's you, the hard, like getting good staff, but then like really making them want to be there and to yes. like it is really
How big
important.
Is your team?
We're at 10 now. So
oh, that's so nice.
We're still small, but.
I actually had a guest on last week and she was talking about, she's a hairdresser and she was talking about how she had a salon. She had like 16 staff members and it was trying to juggle all these different emotions yeah. and pay all these overheads and salaries and stuff like that. And then she's downsized right. to a much smaller team and she's like, I'm actually making more profit
yeah.
because it is a little bit more intimate.
And I think we learned that the first time with the first business. You know, when you're young and dumb and you sort of, you know, you think that bigger equals better.
That's right.
And bigger doesn't equal better. Yeah. Like it can, but I think the reality is that, you know, in a lot of instances, bigger just creates – you do less of what you love and more right. of like putting out fires and dealing with people's issues.
So is Basis set up in America now? Like have you got some wholesalers out there?
Yeah. We've got about 100 retail stockists in
America.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Thank you, Oprah. Yeah. What a legend.
Seriously. Yeah.
Have you sent her any more stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I sent her an Esky and a bigger bottle.
Oh, I do remember you've got stuff. Really cool Eskies as well.
Yeah.
But guys, there's Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day, but that's far, far away. But there is something for everyone in the family. Totally.
Yeah, it's a great family gift.
It is a really good family gift. What is your life like outside of your really successful career? Because, you know, I feel like as women, the juggle is just becoming more and more hectic. You know, we start having children, but then we want to have these careers, and so we should. Like we work really hard to have these careers, and I'm even struggling with it at the moment. I basically did the stay at home mum role for 5 years. I just stayed at home, and that was a lot, right? And now that I'm like one foot out, and I've started to take on all these things. You know, so I can use my brain again and do all of that stuff. What I've just found, and this is a huge issue that I have with my husband that we're constantly working through, is that all I've done is double my workload because I'm also still trying to do the whole stay-at-home mumming stuff, totally. But also now do all these things for my own career and my own personal. And so it is hard and I feel like the balance is never right. Like I never, ever. People are like, oh, you know, you seem to balance it all. What?
Yeah.
I'm dropping balls left, right and center. Totally. So you've got two kids and you've got one daughter.
Yeah.
And what does life outside of work look like for you?
You're grindy. Yeah.
You have to get comfortable with doing everything not as good as you would like to. And you have to sit comfortably with that because otherwise it'll drive you crazy.
I feel like really separating. So the littlest is 8 months. Yeah. So when before in those first kind of 5 or 6 months, like when it's your own business, you're still kind of doing bits and pieces. Like you're not really, but you kind of are. I felt like now I'm back in the office 3 days a week and that dedicated time there has meant that everything else is so much better because it was that real like, oh, cool, I want to be on my computer, but like why the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, and that was really stressful. Yeah. But now it's sort of like, okay, she's taken care of. I can like focus my time there and have that separation. So I think that trying to do two at the same time is horrible.
And also not feel guilty then. It's like your 3 days is your 3 days.
Totally.
But then the non-3 days you just have to be a parent and not feel guilty about the fact that you're not doing work-related stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Do you struggle? Because I always thought that when I started working 3 days, I've still got my youngest 2 days a week, but I always thought, oh, I'll do my 3 days work, but then those 2 days that I have with Kobe, like I'm going to be the best mom and I'm going to be so – but it's done the opposite to me. It's made me be like, oh, my God, I love working.
Yes.
I love working. Then Monday and Tuesday comes around and I'm like, fuck, what's the time? And like I'll be like, yeah, I'm just pushing on the swing, son, but I'm still doing my emails in the background because it's hard for me. So it's definitely done the opposite of what I thought it has done.
Yeah, I feel like I've always loved working though.
Yeah,
like,
it is a workhorse. Like we come from a family of workhorses, but she's next level.
No, like just ever. Like my first job was a patisserie in
14 and 9 months. Like, that's when I started seriously. Working. Big no. B was like, you, out the door. Yep. Gotta pay rent.
Yep. It was like a 7 a.m. start or 6:30 a.m. start. And it was just like Jesus. I was out there organizing the vanilla slices. Oh. And like it was, I took it really seriously. And I just feel like that's always kind of been in me. So I don't know, even with having the babies, I genuinely was like, yeah, I would love to get back to work. Like yeah. obviously I love the kids, like whatever. But
you've always been super driven.
Super. Yeah. So yeah. I kind of felt like it wasn't, I mean, I'm 100% sure there are a lot of people like throwing shade that Rio goes to daycare 2 days a week.
Oh, please.
But it's like no. she likes it.
Mate,
she's
I,
happy in honestly, those photos.
I have Kobe on a Monday and a Tuesday yeah. and I don't reckon he even wants to be with me. He's like, take me, send me to preschool with my friend's mum. Like, totally. At least we're doing painting and stuff. Whereas yeah, I'm like, totally. Here's your iPad.
No,
totally. No, here's your iPad. Watch the yeah. other episode. There's at least 18 there.
No, it's so true. Whenever Roman's at the park, he's like, do you think my friends will be here? And I was like, I'm no longer enough. That's fine. We'll keep a lookout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ariana, you mm-hmm. have had some health issues. I love that you're laughing.
I think you have to. My God, last year was a shit show.
Just a total shit show, yeah. right?
It happened actually 3 weeks after Oprah.
So you're on this massive high?
We're on this ride and, you know, we were still very much like in the throes of dealing with like the staffing issues of trying to scale up quickly to yeah. make sure we weren't letting anyone down. And
yep.
I just had a routine. I felt a lump actually in my breast and had a routine scan because I felt like it was getting bigger and no one was really taking me seriously in my breast, by the way.
As in like, do you routinely check?
So.
Or are you just washing yourself? No, that sounded weirder than I meant it to sound. Like
I was a member of the itty bitty titty committee. So yes. like for me, it's not like I'm sitting there like, it's you know, huge, massaging yeah. my D's and yeah. sort of, it was literally just, I felt this weird, very hard P-sides lump.
Okay, yep.
But, you know, I was only 43 and like we don't have any cancer in our family, so yeah. I tried not to be melodramatic, but it yeah. was like, this is weird, it doesn't feel right, but yeah. I found it difficult to get anyone to take me particularly seriously.
These are the horror stories mm. that you hear about.
Yeah,
I went to a breast cancer charity down in Cronulla, and some of the women, the stories that they've told of like doctors just not taking them seriously.
So
someone had genuinely said, oh, it's nothing to worry about, it's a
benign something, whatever.
If that was me, I would have gone, okay, cool, okay, on my cool. way. Because that's yep. not, that's my personality. Just yep. be like, well, the professional told me that. Mm. And lucky that you're not that way.
No, I'm not that way. I was like, something nah, is not right.
I'm exactly the same as you. I would have yeah. been like, nah.
Nothing but, to worry but, about.
You know, like when you're growing up, you yeah. think you do. You take doctors and GPs and specialists, you take their word for gospel.
Yeah.
Because you think they're the smartest people in the world. Like yeah. they are trying to look after me.
They've yeah. looked, they've said it's nothing.
I mean, so I'm not here to shit can doctors. I love them. But like yes. in so many situations, especially with my kids as well and their kidneys, and I've had loads of ongoing issues, similar thing. Like
yeah.
what they've told me to do versus what I've actually done, very different.
Yeah.
So you've had a doctor who just said it was benign.
Yeah. So two actually. So it was the third time lucky. And it was just finding a new doctor. I went in like cold because I think I'd made the mistake of mentioning each time that the previous doctor had suggested it was benign. And I think that probably then colored their view around
yeah, of
what
course. Yep.
I was doing. And then I found this amazing Dr. Wang, who is a breast surgeon in Sydney. And she basically, I went into her and she basically took from a blank, like a blank sheet of paper, just said, we're going to do all the scans and biopsy and we'll just like, you know, not refer back to make a diagnostic base on these new scans. And literally, I think even now, like it's just for anyone out there who has been diagnosed, it's such a surreal thing because yeah. even though you're fearful of it, I think you never really expect that the words coming out of the doctor's mouth yeah. are. And the sad part was that in that window of time between when I first found and when it had spread, like it was it's a very aggressive form of breast cancer. It was across like 8 to 10 centimeters of my right breast.
From when you found it, went to the first doctor mm-hmm. to the third, how mm-hmm. long was that time period?
14 months. Yeah. And it, because it was an aggressive form, it really got away really quite quickly. So
the first two doctors didn't even take biopsies?
No.
What?
And I feel even bad talking about it because I also don't want to shit can doctors because there are incredible physicians out there, but there I do carry some animosity towards the fact that it wouldn't have taken much just to biopsy.
Exactly
even
right.
To come back out. There was no love lost. I would have willingly done whatever it was that they wanted to do.
You just think to yourself as if you wouldn't have just biopsied it even as precaution.
Yeah.
Yeah, shits and giggles. Let's just biopsy that. Totally. Just even, oh, this lady might be crazy. Let's just put her mind at ease.
Yes. 100%.
Oh, that makes me so mad. I know. Anyway, so.
I've done a lot of therapy together. Yeah,
I would. Yeah, you would need to because that's terrifying to think what if you hadn't pushed on, probably led by your intuition, your gut telling you I need to get. Like something's not sitting right.
This thing was like going like a bushfire and it was, you know, it was like heading to my lymph nodes. And so, yeah, I still am really grateful that I caught it when I did. And so that's, I guess, the hardest part, you know, like what you were saying about what does your juggle look like? Like I think it is a stretch as it is, but then you throw a curveball in like that and then it's like everything else just kind of falls by the wayside.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, I've just got to like buckle down and try and push through this. Yeah.
So what type of cancer was it?
I'm triple positive. I was. I'm doing my final test tomorrow actually to find out that it's all completely gone. But
And do they go in and try and remove it?
So most times now, so you do chemo first.
Yep.
Because they try and shrink it.
Shrink it, yep.
And see, this is another thing. Like, I'm a very A-type personality. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to dominate this chemo, bitch. Like, I am going to do everything by the book. You tell me to walk 10,000 steps a day, I'm going to walk 12,000 steps a day. I'm going to eat clean. And because in some cases, you can actually get to the end of that chemo and be completely have a complete response, what they call, which is mean it's all gone.
Oh, wow.
And they still will do a mastectomy, but like, knowing full well that you've nailed it. And so I got to the end of mine and I hadn't had a complete response. And I can't tell you how devastated I was. Yeah. I was like,
what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I've done everything right.
I know. I was like, oh my God, this is. Yeah. So anyway, so then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to nuke this. So I had a double. I was like, I don't want to save sad old left titty. I might as well just
remove them both. Yeah.
So I did that in April.
You're right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh fuck, right. Crying on a podcast.
Give you a cuddle.
Sorry.
Can
you hold her hand for me? That's me. And then I'll hold yours. No, it's like coming through to me.
Yeah.
You're so incredibly brave. And honestly, we don't have to talk about it.
Oh no, it's fine.
You've probably got so much.
It's my PTSD. No, I don't have PTSD. So I think it's just, you know, and like, I'm not special. Like, fuck, there's so many women. This is becoming so commonplace. Yeah. So this is not a special story.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just get on with it. And I'm no different to any other woman that goes through this journey. It's just a lot.
I can't even comprehend what it would feel like, but I feel like, especially with a daughter, like it would be terrifying, right? Like you want to survive for them.
Yeah.
And you want to survive and you want to beat this. And I just feel like cancer is so prevalent in society at the moment and it's just everywhere and it's constantly touching people that you know, but you never really think it's going to touch you, right?
No way. That's what I always felt. Yeah. I don't know why. You know how you always feel like people are around you and they're like, oh, this person's father. And I always had this sick thing where I was feeling inside where I was like, it's never really been super close to us.
Yes.
Mm. And so even I remember you calling me and saying, I've got breast cancer. I was like, no, what do you mean? Tell me exactly what she said to you. I'm like,
and you on spent, the couch. But I'm you like, spent oh the God, next hour sick. Telling me I was wrong.
I did. I literally did. And I'm like, the most negative Nancy. And so in my head I was like, okay, I'm going to turn this around. And I was like, no. Like, let's just, you know, you need to get all the results ready, blah, blah. And, obviously it was.
Yeah.
For that minute because I was just, it was just so mind-blowing to me to think that that actually
someone
was.
So close to you was about to go through this.
Yeah.
So did you, was the lady who found the lump, is that who treated you or do you then go to?
Well, yeah, you've got this team around you.
Yeah.
And so obviously then you've got the oncologist who is then all about the chemo side of things.
Yeah.
And then you've got your surgeon who's the mastectomy side of things. And then I needed radiation as well too. So I had a radiation oncologist. Yeah. So you've got this amazing team around you. And actually my chemo team at St. Vincent's, like in the hospital than the ambulatory care ward there. They are like, they are the most beautiful humans. I think, you know, you get into your 40s and you can become a bit of a jaded bitch and like a bit cynical and, you know, like I'll do half an hour on the customer service complaint email and I'll be like, what is wrong with people?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
people love to just be angry.
Yeah, you can become quite cynical and then you go through an experience like that and I think like I'm clutching at straws for silver linings because people are like, maybe you live life a bit harder now or something. And I was like, mate, I was the one dancing on the tables. I didn't need that lesson. Yeah. But the only thing I think that I have absolutely taken out of this whole experience is that there are just some beautiful human beings in the world and the St. Finney's ambulatory guys, like they are just, they're just beautiful people. They they come at you with this love and compassion and, you know, make you feel like you're like on this journey together. And they do that day in, day out. Like I'm no different to the next person and each one of us feels exactly the same. Like just incredible humans. Like, my God, don't get me started about pay rates for nurses. Like after that experience, I'm just like
they should be getting the amount of money as lawyers.
Yes.
Honestly. And they also do shift work.
Or football players.
Yeah, exactly. I always say the same thing. I feel like nurses and doctors, the empathy that they carry and the fact like I wouldn't be able to work in a, you know, an ICU daily and then go home. I wouldn't be able to compartmentalize. No way. I would take that all home and it would keep me up all night. But they're so good at being able to care for you and make you feel loved and supported and then obviously go home to their family and be a normal human being as well.
Yeah.
So how long was that journey for you? Like,
That was in October of not last year, but the year before.
Mm-hmm.
I only finished chemo 2 weeks ago. So because after the surgery and the radiation, they took the view that I could do like, it's almost like insurance policy chemo. So it's like a pissy chemo, I call it, where, you know, your hair's not falling out anymore and like all the typical side effects that you see. It's like you just feel like moderately shitty all the time.
Yeah.
But you don't have all
you're not hugging a toilet bowl.
Yeah. And so I honestly, these last fortnight, it's like the first time in 15 months that I haven't had those drugs in my system. And like every morning I'm waking up, I don't know whether it's like whether I'm feeling exactly as I was before. It's just I forgot how good it felt, but I'm like actually like jumping out of bed these last
few days. Amazing,
right? It's like, oh my God, I'm alive again. So.
And so did you, when you were unwell in hospital and stuff, were you able to work? Like was that able to give you, I don't know, take your mind off things at all, or were you
unwell? I feel sorry. I think I don't want this to be about like, oh, woe is me, my illness.
Yeah, woe
but,
is you.
But
I know.
We need to go back to basis.
What is wrong with you?
I think my main problem, I mean, everyone was so incredible in the office, obviously, you know, that there was no expectation that I needed to do anything. And there was a big chunk in the beginning of the chemo where you really like this is next level feeling like shit. And so I had a will to do it, but I had no physical ability.
Energy.
And that was really grating me. Like I think actually when I, because they recommend that you start talking to someone, and that was pretty much what was occupying 90% of my conversation was not how physically disfigured I was going to be after the fact or anything like that. It was literally like, I just feel like I'm letting everyone around me down. And how the fuck am I going to like still do that and you know, and also focus on like
getting better.
So I think I definitely tried to keep my finger in the pie, would you say?
I think it was just different. Like, and
FOMO. I felt like everyone was in the office, like getting on with life. But that's something that happens, I think, with cancer treatment is all of a sudden, it's actually a sad perspective to have, but like you start seeing people around you, like social media. Like I was off social media. Like as everyone's living their best lives and you're sitting there, you know, looking like a smacked ham, feeling like death, wondering if it's either going to, you know, fix you or, you know, this is your new reality. Like you just don't know, right?
I mean, here I am talking about juggling, trying to just juggle family life and career and stuff. Like I couldn't even imagine trying to juggle family life as well as a cancer diagnosis and an incredibly successful business. So I if I was wearing a hat, I would take it off to you.
Oh, thanks.
I wouldn't be wearing a hat in
here.
And
I think that's the other thing too, though, is like so many, like I have such beautiful girlfriends, and that's the other thing too. Like, you know, when, like your girlfriends, like they are the fucking best. Like
they're the salts of the earth, they right?
They are. And so they all rallied around me. And but the only thing I found hard was that no one wanted to share their shit day in the office or the fact that their husband was driving them crazy, because they were like, oh, it's nothing in comparison to what you're going through. I was like, please
tell me
your problem.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't want to focus on this. I want to focus on just, you know, like the stuff.
Anything but this. Yes. Right?
So yeah.
Oh my gosh. So are you in a good place?
Yes.
Now?
Yeah. I mean, if I took my top off, thank fuck this is a podcast, because everyone was like, no, you're not in a good place at all. I have a botched mastectomy on one side. So currently I have one sad sack tit and another that's sort of just healing. So
good.
But from a mental and physical standpoint, I'm great.
And the cancer is gone? Touch
if there was wood. Touch tomorrow, wood, yeah. I do my scan, my final scan tomorrow. So, yep.
And then how long, do you have to be in remission for 5 years?
I don't know. No one talks about this. I hear people celebrating about these bells.
Remission.
Yeah. Like, where's my bell?
I always thought remission was 2 years, but then someone said it was 5 years. Anyway.
Not sure.
But you know what?
You just keep getting scanned and checked and
yeah.
Hope for the best.
Yeah. Staying on top of things, right?
I'll be all over it like a rash. I was definitely will not ever let this slide again, no.
I had I was very naughty in my youth, and I went to lots and lots of solariums.
Right.
And I absolutely shouldn't. Like, I'm English. My mum and dad were like, you're an English rose, and I hold like the rose colour. I'm just English, like just deathly white. But I somehow learned that like you can, if you go to solariums and just build up slowly, right. Like 6 minutes and 8 minutes and 10 minutes and 20 minutes with heat cream.
Jesus Christ.
Heat accelerator. Anyway, by the time I was living in the UK, I looked like Mediterranean. Yeah. I was so tanned. And you do. You think you're invincible when you're young. And then I've had so many skin cancers cut out.
Wow.
And for now, I just have to stay on top of it and be on top of it every 6 months. And it's a punish. I've got to go get my skin checked. Right. But also it might save my life.
Yeah.
So super vigilant with that.
And that's the thing, right? Like, we've come so far. Like, no judgment, because we all, like, that's just what you did. Like, it's amazing how much, like.
My mum used to do it.
Yeah. My mum used to tell me to go outside with vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Like, my mum's also English, by the way.
We're Greek, but, so she, we got the same but with olive oil, so.
All right. Well, I am so incredibly happy that you guys came on. Aww. And I think you are both amazing. I think you have been put through the ringer. You've been put through the ringer. Find your ex-husband and fucking hit him with my car.
Yeah.
And I just think, and yet you're both so, I want to say you're still half glass half full. Even though
I
you
like
might.
Realistic, I call it.
Realistic, but more, you definitely, oh, maybe I haven't been in business with
know.
You. But
I feel like there's so many bigger problems now that I'm like, oh, fuck. You can't get upset about that. Like.
But and your outlook on life and your positive attitude.
She was like that when she was bald and pink. She was like, I'd still fine. She looked immaculate. She'd be like dressed up beautifully. She'd be like, I'm good.
You gotta fake
like,
it till you make it.
Absolutely, honestly, agree.
There was this one window during the actual treatment that because it also, like, it has the most weird effects, and it blocked my ducts in my eye. And so my eye blew up. Like, I had a cyst on my eye that was literally the size of it. And so that, you know, when there's just that thing that tips you over the edge?
Yeah.
Up until that point, I'd been trying to hold it together, and I was, you know, bald and rashes and all sorts of stuff. But then this eye came up. I remember coming into the office, and I'm like, I've just like, I'm broken. It's like, it's broken
the
me.
The straw that broke the camel's back. The eye
was everything.
Everyone was like, you look great. I was like, don't fuck with me. I look terrible. Like,
it's you know what? You can hold it together for so long, and then it'll be like the smallest thing that just lets it all out.
Yeah.
But your skin looks—you look beautiful and glowy.
Thanks,
it's you really do. You look absolutely.
It's called the post chemo glow. So
is that a thing?
No, it's not a thing. It's not a thing.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I want everybody to go and check out the Basis website. It is going to be your go-to for gifts for any time of the year. I'm going to do a reel for them soon, and I'm going to showcase all of them. We're still working on what we're going to do to bring that to life, but I want to make sure that you understand the full circle that is Basis and what they can provide from a gifting perspective and what you can get for your money. Mm. And I am so grateful you came in and had a chat with me.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Anytime. And I'll put all your details and everything like that. And if they want, you probably don't want all your personal handles, do you?
No. No. We're not those kind of people.
I mean, my last post was like, the kid was one.
Yeah, yeah, nah. I had a look on your Instagram. I'm pretty sure. You're, yeah.
Like, who is
your 4-year-old? Yeah. Was 1 year old. Okay, good. So you're not on there as much. So we'll put the Basis details and whatnot, and you can have a look on there. But I hope your results tomorrow are positive.
Thank you.
I'm putting it out there. We're manifesting just health.
Yeah.
From a perspective from you and it's moving forward.
Everyone.
Yeah, it's onwards and upwards. Totally. Who can we get next? Who can we get next to show your product? Who would be end goal? About,
you know what? I had this exact conversation this morning with my husband, Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't know why. It's
Goop?
I thought it was Rose.
Goop. Yes.
Worth a shot.
I'm pretty sure Gwyneth. I can have a chat with her for sure. We'll see. I can tie something. She would be like, no, that woman drinks far too much. That is against the Goop brand.
The philosophy, yeah.
Yeah, totally. She is very like holistic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but let's try and we'll aim for Goop. We'll aim for Goop. We'll shoot for the stars and we'll land somewhere down here. All right. Thank you for joining us and thank you to the listeners. I will see you again next week.
Thank you.
Bye.